Death can't stop vengeance. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I'm Autumn.
And I'm James.
And folks, I'm using such a sweet little voice today because we're here.
This is it.
We did it.
Oh my God.
5 years of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We're on our Z episode.
That's it.
Thank God.
We survived.
Yes, our kind listeners, we bring to you our Z movie today. Z standing for Zombie Nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness. We really had not a clue what we were going into with this one because one trailer is a clip.
Uh-huh.
And the other trailer makes it look like the most insane movie you've ever seen.
Yeah. Somehow, out of all the years we've done this, this movie is never on the list.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first year I was aware of this movie. This is the first year that I was like, okay, I'll put it into the bucket of Z movies.
Yeah.
That are all titled zombie something or other. And we almost did another awful zombie anthology.
Yeah. And I didn't want to put myself through that again.
Well, there's always next year. And so, yeah, out of just desperation, I was like, there's got to be something other than all of these awful zombie anthologies, with the exception of, I guess, zombie strippers and zombie beavers.
Right. Zombievers.
Zombievers, yes. So it's just like, all right, Zombie Nightmare, what's that? It's got a decent score on IMDb. Oh, hey, this is actually an 80s zombie film.
Uh-huh.
And also a 80s zombie film metal music
extravaganza.
Whoa, look at that.
This movie also, I don't know why, I kept passing up the Mystery Science Theater version of it because it was after we watched it, I was looking for reference photos and stuff. And then I saw the poster for the Mystery Science Theater version. I was like, oh my God, I never watched that one, but I recognize this poster.
Yeah, I have skipped past it.
Yes, every time.
Yeah, and so now that we've actually have done this episode, we'll have to go back and watch and see what they have to say about the movie.
Yeah.
That's our disclosure that anything that we say has nothing to do with Mystery Science Theater 3000. Hmm. These are all original
100%.
I doubt we'll overlap, except for maybe one or two things. I have one really big thing that that maybe they've pointed out.
Maybe.
Man, one big swinging thing. Yeah, this movie came out in 1987. It runs at a pretty tight hour and 24 minutes. And honestly, folks, I don't know how they stretched this movie that long.
I don't either, because most of it is just long, long, long shots.
Yeah, this movie is, I would say, two-thirds metal music video.
Yeah, yeah. With long shots of people driving.
Yes.
Or walking.
Yeah.
Or fighting. Or anything else.
Yeah. And then just some random metal music playing on top of it that doesn't even necessarily match the tone or mood of the scene.
Yeah.
It's very off-putting in a lot of ways. All right, well, let's go ahead and dig into actually describing what the hell happens in this movie.
Yeah, and it's one of those movies where it really does throw you in.
Yes.
We're in the middle of a voodoo ritual.
Uh-huh.
You know, the classic voodoo, bringing a person back to life thing.
Yeah.
And we see our titular zombie.
Yeah.
Scream, and then we get our opening credits.
Yes.
Which, if you didn't know, that this was a pretty much a metal musical.
Yeah.
is how I would want it to be if we remade it. We hear Ace of Spades by Motorhead.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I was like, what the heck? How did they do that? And then I realized, wait a second, Lemmy really loved working with Troma and stuff. Yeah. So this was probably right up his alley.
Absolutely. And so, boy, oh, boy, it is a long opening credit sequence. They play
Ace of Spades. Entirety of, yes, Ace of Spades.
That's not a short song.
No. That's how they stretched it, was, absolutely, they did this. It's not just Motorhead that's featured in this film.
No.
We've got Battalion and Death Mask, Fist, Thor, one,
yes,
of our favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, whenever, like, I mean, first of all, when Ace of Spades started playing, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and I was rocking out. Whoa.
And then whenever they started showing the featuring musicians and stuff, it was just like, oh my God, like, this list doesn't stop.
Yeah, it was just like one hit after another.
Mm-hmm. When we finally get done with the opening credits, we see a bunch of folks playing baseball.
Mm-hmm. Very picturesque.
Very picturesque. Very Troma.
Very Troma. It feels like a Troma production.
Yeah, yeah. There's just, it's a lot of Troma-style B-roll,
yeah,
of kids playing baseball and people talking and all this. And all the while, there's this kind of hokey synth music playing on top of, mm-hmm, it. And that is just, that's Troma all over. I was,
oh,
waiting,
yeah,
for Toxie and Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD to show up in the background somewhere.
Yeah. What is it about Troma movies when it's like the normal stuff, though, that it makes it feel so like vintage Americana-esque?
Yeah. That's, you know, Lloyd, the rest of the folks over there at Troma, they know how to capture that uncanny Leave It to Beaver feel.
Yeah, and that's what this feels like.
Yes.
Because we have somebody come up to bat, and it's obvious that it's his son and his wife in the crowd, and, mm-hmm, the son's going, go, Dad, you're going to do great. You're the best baseball player ever. Like, he's just going on and on like,
yeah,
that.
That kid's not on a script. It's just a, be real excited about your dad being up to bat. Go ahead and start shouting stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they let the kid ad-lib.
Yes, absolutely. Guy knocks it out of the park. Ball game's over. Everybody's had a great time. Time to go home.
During the baseball game, there was a little trouble.
Oh, yes, yes, because we've got these two greasers that are eyeballing a lady that's watching the game.
Mm-hmm. And they go off as she goes off, and the game ends, and we get to see kind of what they're up to, which, of course, is no good.
That's right. Yeah, these assholes are harassing this nice lady, and the guy that's so great at baseball comes up to save the day, and he just manhandles these two goons.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, yet again, we got another movie with no fight choreographer on the set at all.
No, it's just...
They said, just fight, guys.
Yeah, it's playground grappling.
Yes.
And the guys toss these two goons around, and one of the goons pulls a knife and stabs the man. Oh, dear.
Poor dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so dad is stabbed. Now little Tony,
mm-hmm,
has to grow up without a father.
Yeah.
And grow up he does. Yikes.
Holy crap. Look how big this guy is.
He's huge.
Yeah.
Not just his muscles, but his hair, too.
His hair, his muscles, his bat.
Oh, my God. Avert your eyes, guys.
Yeah. It's going to be really hard every time. Well, hopefully not.
I don't want to see that.
Anytime that Tony is on screen, it's really hard not to have your eyes wander down to the bottom half, because this man is packing.
And they put him in gray sweatpants,
Come
too.
Come on. Yeah, and so he's just swanging.
It is swanging. Left and right, left and right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a prosthetic or if that is actually that guy's junk, but my God, it's horrifying. That's the scary part of this movie.
That's right, yeah. Tony's third leg. After playing baseball, Tony walks home and greets his mom, and she's just like, Tony, you forgot the groceries. He's just like, oh, I'm a knucklehead, Ma. I'll go get the groceries. Now, you would think that we would go directly to seeing Tony picking up the groceries. However, no, no, no. This movie has to throw in some other characters first.
Yeah, of course.
And we have some goons hanging out at a local bar. And this is a long shot of people dancing where I'm like, who's actually the main characters? It can't be these guys that aren't mic'd that are talking amongst all this loud sound, can it? Oh, dialogue's not important in this film.
No, not at all. Because we cannot hear a thing that it's going on. They're just being rowdy, getting on other patrons' nerves.
Yeah.
In fact, this one patron that's sitting right behind them gets up to cause a scene. And our main guy, well, our main bully.
Sure.
Our main bad guy.
Why not?
Gets up and threatens him. Yeah. And that gets them kicked out, too.
Yes.
Because we can't have knife fights in the club.
That's right. They leave the club, hop in their car, and it's time for some metal music.
Woo! With the longest driving a car scene ever.
And they never actually have interior shots.
Nope.
It's just, again, B-roll of them filming the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so no
from
dialogue.
From one angle.
Yeah, from one angle, no dialogue.
There's obviously people talking in the car because they're moving their heads and stuff.
But whatever they're saying, I guess, isn't important to the plot.
Yeah, all that matters is the metal.
That's right. I think that's what they said in the pre-production meeting. As if they had one.
So Tony is gathering up his groceries. As he goes back to grab one of the items that he forgot, these two other goons walk in.
Yes.
To cause some trouble.
Now, Autumn, this movie's giving me a lot of flashbacks to other movies we've watched. Because
what?
We've got the 80s dance party situation.
Right,
we had goons getting into trouble.
Right,
we had a cold open that then led to a flashback that then led us to what we think may be present time, but it surely can't be because I don't see any voodoo ladies anywhere nearby. And now we're having some guys going in to rob a convenience store. I don't know what movie I'm watching anymore because it feels like I'm watching all of them at the same time.
I think we are. I think that this last movie really was just a figment of our manifestations.
Yes.
That all combined together and created the super movie.
I don't think anybody in the history of this film has ever called this a super movie.
Maybe. Well, maybe somewhere down the line.
There's probably a word missing in between super and movie. You figure out what word that might be.
Maybe two words. One of them being a bad word.
Yes. Tony saves the day from these damn robbers by just manhandling.
He uses his brute strength because that is all that he needs, but he might as well have pulled it out and, slapped him across the face a couple of times.
Yeah.
That would have hurt him even more.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I was a robber and I saw that guy swanging at me.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know what?
I'm just lying down. I'm going to close my eyes. You knocked me out just by looking at me.
So the shop owner, he's super thankful to Tony, lets him take the groceries.
Yeah.
And so Tony goes on his merry way. Now, what do you think these bullies are up to?
Well, probably listening to metal music and driving.
Well, they're still doing that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're listening to that metal music so loud that they don't even notice Tony walking to the street. They're having such a great time still that they run him right over.
Yeah, and how you know this is not a trauma film is they didn't put a wig on a cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grocer sees Tony get hit by the car and runs outside, and these two other guys pull over, and they're like, oh my God, Tony, no, Tony. Everybody in the neighborhood, I guess, knows Tony.
Yeah, because I kept going, who are these guys? Have we met them yet? What's going on?
Right? They load Tony up into the car, and instead of taking him to a hospital or calling an ambulance, they take him straight home for his mom to cradle his dead body.
Yeah, yeah. They took him home to his mom to go, yep, he's dead.
Yes. And then she's just like, well, you have to call Molly McKembe. And it's just like, who the hell is... Oh. That's probably...
Yeah, McKembe really McKembe. Gave it away. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grocer. What was his freaking name?
Oh, I have no idea.
I can't even remember his name. But he's just like, what? What would we do with Molly here? She's kooky.
Yeah, and the mom's just like, she owes me a favor. Oh, all right. Molly shows up, and this poor lady.
I know.
Playing Molly.
I know. I think she could be a good actress.
Yeah.
But did they give her the direction of talk like a goat?
Just ham it up as much as possible.
Literally every line she says in the scene comes out with a bleh.
Bleh. Oh, no.
And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really think she does that any other time in the movie. Yeah, it's just this big pivotal scene.
Yeah, it's the most important scene in the film. and yeah, like she's supposed to be crying and talking.
Yeah, because she's so upset.
I would rather have her just talk stone, mm-hmm. like serious.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get those guys. You just wait and see. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been, I think, more powerful than her going, oh, I can't believe it. Oh.
Yeah, she agrees to bring Tony back for vengeance.
Yes.
So she sends the two randos off to grab some animal blood.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And so they start to set up for the ritual.
Yeah.
Now, our bullies, on the other hand, mm-hmm. they're actually freaking out.
Yes.
They're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What if somebody finds out? Nobody's going to find out. Nobody no. knows that kid. Nobody cares.
Nobody
they
knows
say.
Who Tony is.
Yeah. Main bully, though.
Yeah.
He's like, I kind of liked it.
I like the way it feels. So
to,
easy.
To see the life leave their eyes like that? Wow. Yeah. It's kind of turning me on.
Yeesh. Yeah.
Molly gets set up for the ritual, mm-hmm. and so they begin, and she explains to Tony's mom, hey, he's going to be between life and death, mm-hmm. so he's going to be vastly different.
Yeah.
But he needs to seek out his vengeance, and once he does, that's when he can finally rest.
Yeah, yeah. Don't expect this to be your lovable little boy, because that ain't who's coming.
Mm-mm. And so we see the ritual again.
Yes.
It really was just the beginning of the movie, and same thing here.
Yeah.
The exact same scene.
Well, since we know now that Tony has risen from the grave, let's go ahead and go to the next day and see what all the goons are up to.
Jim,
yeah.
who is the name of our main bully.
Yeah.
He's so mean to his mom.
Yes.
Very mean. I guess it's obvious why he acts the way he does, though, because she's just as mean back.
Yeah, yeah. She's asking him where his car is, and he's just like, up yours, bitch.
The main thing that his mom was yelling at him about was that the other car that he had was gone, mm-hmm. and she assumes that he crashed it somewhere.
Yeah.
So now he's got to get in Dad's fancy car when he says, screw off, Mom,
yeah.
and runs out.
Why let him take the car?
Yeah.
Why let him have the keys?
Yeah. Why are the keys to this really, really fancy car mm-hmm. just laying around?
That's right. Whatever. He takes it and he drives to some more metal music. Yay.
Yeah. This movie would honestly be probably about 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for all these long scenes of driving.
Yes. Jim meets up with the rest of the gang at the local Twist and Cream.
Can't do names, but names of restaurants, we got it.
Hell yeah. Well, because it's kind of dirty. He tells the rest of the gang that he dropped off the car over at his uncle's garage to get worked on and such, so they don't have to worry about anything. And they're just like, well, here's the thing. We're still pretty worried. He's like, it ain't in the paper. Who cares about this random guy? It's all cool, guys. Hey, while you guys are being lame, I'm going to go hit on this hot waitress.
Yeah. Luckily, she is not impressed by Jim because he is kind of a loser.
Well, yeah, very clearly. And I like it because the fact that this isn't the only time that he gets turned down by her. Mm-hmm. And each time this happens, he ends up yelling at the other patrons like, what are you looking at? Why don't you eat your fucking food?
Yeah.
Because he's all hurt.
He's all embarrassed. Aw, poor little Jimmy.
Yeah. I guess to kind of explain who all's in this gang.
Right.
Is we have Jim, and then we have two couples. We have Peter and Susie. And then I'll give you a shiny nickel if you can tell me off the top of your head, without looking at your notes, the names of the other two.
Amy and Bobby.
Okay, good job. Yeah.
Ames for short.
Ames for short. I don't...
Because Amy's not short enough.
Right. Right. I don't think that we learned their actual names until pretty much the end of the film.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so that's pretty amusing.
Amy is the girl from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
I think this was probably like one of her first roles.
It's gotta be. Yeah, because she's very young.
She's very young, so. Yeah.
Peter and Susie are just like, well, we've got to go to the rec center and do our thing. Y'all take care.
Yeah, they're more or less implying that they're going to be having sex. But I was surprised they actually go to the rec center and actually are playing tennis.
Yeah, another long scene of them playing tennis.
Very long.
Yeah. They start to make out. The janitor's just like, you kids just gonna lock up now. Wink. And he fucks off to his janitorial closet to read an issue of Fangoria. Good choice.
Yes. Peter and Susie go to canoodle in the hot tub. Mm-hmm. And it just, it don't go too well for them.
No. Zombie Tony shows up and twists the neck of Peter and then gives chase after Susie.
For about 15 minutes.
Oh, this chase scene is awful. Just
it's
awful.
So long. So it is probably the worst chase sequences I've ever seen.
It's very similar to that meme on TikTok of like the people going, oh, running away from the serial killer and remembering I haven't had any in a while, you know, like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Where they just like slow down and maybe fall onto a bed or what have you.
Well, and then there's that one part of the chase sequence where the camera's stuck on Tony and it's like super duper slow-mo.
Yes.
And then it's also kind of slow-mo on Susie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we didn't need slow-mo, guys. This scene is way long enough. Please, please don't slow-mo it.
Yeah. Zombie Tony catches up with her and clobbers her with his bat.
Mm-hmm. Police got there fast.
Yeah, everything happened really fucking fast. There's a big old crowd. The police are questioning people. They're questioning the janitor. Mm-hmm. Janitor's just like, oh, well, I didn't hear anything out of the ordinary because let's just say those kids are usually screaming about this time of night, if you catch my drift. Ho, ho, ho.
And he kept saying, if you catch my drift, and the police officer finally says, yeah, I catch your drift.
Yeah, I get you.
I get you.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This police officer ends up being one of our main characters now.
I would dare say that he is the main character,
right,
which is weird because you have all these other people.
Yeah, so Officer Frank, mm-hmm. We'll just call him Frank from now on.
Yeah.
He starts to scan the crowd and he notices Molly's there.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know who Molly is. He just, for some reason, focuses in on her.
Yeah.
I guess because she's so beautiful.
I suppose. He looks away for a second and when he looks back, she's disappeared.
Oh, that's creepy.
Frank goes to the crime scene and is talking to the coroner about it. I love the coroner
character. I love the coroner. I wish he was in it a lot more.
Yeah, because he's got this wacky ass voice.
Yeah.
And
he's so like matter of fact and blunt.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like that's often these kinds of characters, but this guy really hams it up.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't ham it up in this movie? But he does it in a way that's actually entertaining. They're discussing the murders as it is. And the coroner's just like, yeah, this guy must be the size of a gorilla because he killed Peter with his bare hands.
I would believe it.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a crime to happen, though, where he just slapped it around and they're like, oh my God, this guy's got a huge dick.
Yeah, this guy strangled him with his bare dick.
Next day, the rest of the gang see that Peter and Susie have died.
Yeah.
Their deaths were actually in the newspaper.
Yeah, but they have a different description of how they died versus what actually happened, because mm-hmm. it says in the paper that they overdosed on angel dust. And it's like, those guys were like fit as a fiddle, not into any of that shit.
Yeah.
Jim, shockingly, is just like, oh, well, it's obvious that the goon that we hit with our car didn't actually die, and now he's taking revenge. I like to see him take me on. And Amy and Bobby are just like, this is fucked up, man. And he's mm-hmm. just like, come and get it.
I'm going to go flirt with her again.
Yeah, I'm going to go flirt with the girl.
This time, we see why she is not going with his advances, because she's like, you're way too young. I am old enough to be your older sister.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good for her.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Don't date a high schooler, please.
Yeah, for sure.
We forgot to mention at the top of the episode that this actually has top billing for a very famous star.
Oh, yeah.
We're almost done with the movie, and here he comes.
Yeah, here he comes.
And Mr. Adam West himself.
Yes.
He's the police chief.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're now at the police station, and Frank is talking to Adam West. I'm not even going to say his name.
Yeah, we don't even need to say his name.
That's right.
Chief Adam West.
That's right. And he's telling him about the case. He's just like, hey, I think that there's something going on to this. And in typical horror movie fashion, mm-hmm. the Chief Adam West is just like, you got to stop these murders.
Yeah, we can't have a murderer running around. It's just not a good look.
Yeah, it's not a good look for us. And it's not a good look for you to just be letting these murders happen on your watch. As if there's no other police on the force.
I'm so glad there's not a huge Halloween party going on in this town, because then we would have just heard him say, but don't worry, we're still going to have that big dance.
That is what's missing from this film.
Yes.
If they would have cut out all the damn metal.
Yeah.
And saved it for three full performances at the dance,
yeah,
then we would have had something.
Yeah.
Later that night, Tony's mom visits Molly and zombie Tony. Glad to see that she's checking in on him. Didn't really need that.
Yeah, I didn't really need this scene other than Molly to tell her, don't look at Tony. He's in an awkward stage right now.
Yeah, he's going through fourth puberty. And yes, Tony is looking pretty rough. He doesn't have his long, luscious locks anymore.
Yeah, he's got an awful wig on.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not even noticing another long, luscious thing.
Yeah, I think it fell off.
Yeah. Well, there's no point in watching the rest of this movie.
Yeah, the guy,
a different actor?
I honestly don't know if it's a different actor or what, because he seems smaller, like,
yeah,
in like muscle mass too.
Yeah, because Tony is a beast when he's alive.
Yeah.
And then whenever he's zombie Tony, it's just like, oh, that guy's fit, but.
Yeah. Yeah, he's tall and big,
yeah,
but I don't know if he looks like Tony.
Right. Checking back in with Jim at the Twist and Cream, he waited for the waitress to get off her shift, and he starts to creep on her. He starts to creep on her a lot, to a point where he tosses her down into a pile of garbage to have his way with her.
Yeah, this scene's a little hard to watch.
Yes, it's awful.
And this is, unfortunately, the clip that we saw.
Yes, this is the, quote, trailer for the movie of Jim about to sexually assault this lady. But luckily, our hero of the film, Tony, shows up and quickly makes work of Jim impaling him on his baseball bat.
Yeah, because that's how that works.
Hey, you know, it's just as good as Toxie using a mop.
I mean, at least a mop, the force of, like, because it's so skinny.
Yeah, I can believe someone being impaled on a mop long before someone being impaled on a baseball bat.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a funny death.
Mm-hmm.
good thing that we got Jim out of the way, the main bully. Yeah,
the guy that I thought was going to be the final death.
Yeah.
So cool. All right. Well, I mean, Tony might as well just go, you know, go back to the grave at this point.
Right. Because not... why do we care about seeing Amy and Bobby die? They seem the most concerned.
Yeah. They're also the least in the movie up to this point.
Yeah. They seem like the most innocent of the gang.
Yeah. We have a little bit of a time jump to the waitress being questioned by Frank, and she's just like, I wouldn't have believed if I hadn't seen it with my own two eyes. Mm-hmm. There was this giant that just took care of Jim.
Yep. And his wide eyes.
Yeah, he's got these wide eyes.
Now, how did this actress do the best acting of anyone ever?
She is the best actress in this entire film.
She is so convincing, and she delivers these lines amazingly.
Yeah, she's the only person that took the direction of ham it up and go, oh, you mean actually act?
Yeah. So you'll be impressed with her performance, at least.
Yeah, we also get to see the coroner again. Yay! They talk about how, like, they already know who Jim is because they talk about how he's a shitty guy and he's already been in a lot of trouble leading up to this point.
Yeah, the coroner's pretty much like, ah, don't worry about him. He was into all sorts of drugs and violence and just all the bad things teens are in these days.
Mm-hmm.
Frank starts to look around the crime scene a little bit more, and he finds Jim's knife that he had used to try to stab Tony, and he notices there's no blood on this knife.
Hmm, that's peculiar.
Did he actually use his knife, or did he stab somebody that doesn't have blood?
Gasp. Checking in with side character Bobby, he's sitting there working out and gets a phone call from Amy, and she's just like, listen, we gotta get the fuck out of town because Jim's gone, and we're obviously next on the list, so we're in danger. And Bobby's just like, listen, just lock the doors and I'll come over. Everything's going to be fine. How are they even going to know that we were involved? It's like, well, ask that to Peter and Susie.
Yeah.
Jim, I can believe getting killed because he's an asshole. And also he was driving the car. But Bobby and Amy, I think they were in the back seat. So how would anybody know that they were even there?
Who knows? Back at the police station, they believe they've caught the guy.
Yes.
And it is actually one of the robbers from the grocery store. He's been going around committing all these robberies and has been very violent about it. So they think that he is the one that's been doing all these killings as well. And it's like, what connection is there besides Adam West the violence?
Adam West is just wanting to get this case closed.
He's like, we got 15 minutes left in the movie. We got to get this
rolling.
Let's
go ahead and wrap it up. Frank is just like, I don't think that's him. And Captain and Adam West is just like, it is him. Damn it. Let me keep smoking this cigar as awkward as possible.
Frank is very adamant that they have not solved the case, while Adam West is just like, no, we've solved it. Now let's go have a celebratory dinner.
Yes, let's go have some spaghetti.
Some spaghetti.
They go to the restaurant. They're having themselves a nice drink. Frank is still talking about the details. He even brought some of the crime scene photos with them. And Captain Adam West is just like, Jesus, man, get that out of here. You almost made me spill my drink.
So Frank, still not convinced, he's at home looking over all the evidence again.
While drinking a glass of milk. Who looks at crime scene photos while drinking a glass of milk? That's fucking weird.
It's so weird. But hey, it's how he likes to spend his evenings.
Yeah, while looking at the pictures, he starts to notice a common denominator between all these crime scenes, and that is Molly.
So, of course, he goes to report back to Captain Adam West, and he tells him, hey, we need to really contact this lady. She's been at all the crime scenes, so I need to ask her if she knows what's going on. And Adam West just says, I know who that is. That's Molly, and she's crazy. You can't be talking to her. Don't even try to attempt to talk to her.
Yeah. That's when we get plot that I did not see coming because we had a very simple story here.
Yeah. And we're almost done with the movie.
Yes. And suddenly we get shoved in that Adam West was one of the hooligans in the beginning of the film that had assaulted Molly when she was a young lady, that had killed Tony's dad.
Yeah.
And he calls up Jim's dad, who happens to be the other hooligan that was involved. And it's just like, wait a minute. Why did we need this?
Okay. And then here's where it gets wacky.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam West warned Jim's dad.
Yeah.
Jim's dad going out to get away.
Yeah.
Tony shows up to kill Jim's dad for some reason.
And that does not track.
Because that's not his vengeance story.
Exactly.
If anything, it should have been like if Molly had brought his dad back.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really peculiar.
Because that's not how the rules work as far as I was told by Molly when she first did the ritual.
Exactly.
Jim's dad, not on the list. Adam West, not on the list.
No. Because he would have already have attacked Adam West probably by this point.
Right.
Because he's, for a zombie, he gets around.
He does.
checking back in with Bobby and Amy, they're preparing to skip town and they're trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do. And they're just like, hey, Jim always talked about that if we ever had trouble, we can go rob his uncle's garage to get money so we can skip town. That's clunky as fuck.
Oh, yeah. It was just a device to get them into this garage.
Yeah.
Because they had the filming space and wanted to use it.
Absolutely. So Bobby and Amy go to the garage. Naturally, Zombie Tony shows up. Things don't go so hot for them. Frank had been trailing Molly this whole time. And, you know, because Molly's got to show up for all of Tony's kills.
Mm-hmm.
And so they arrive at the garage as well. And it's such a weird, this is supposed to be a climax.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just got a lot of clunky moving parts.
Yes.
Because we get to see Bobby and Amy die.
Yeah.
Sure. We get to see Frank get trapped in the garage by Molly because she uses her voodoo on the garage door.
Yeah.
Because that's how voodoo works.
Right.
And so Frank's stuck in the garage with Zombie Tony and he sees him kill Amy. And
yeah. Zombie Tony attacks Frank but does not kill him because he's not on the mission.
Not on the list.
That's right. Adam West gets Molly and takes her to a graveyard.
Yeah, where Tony is headed.
Yeah.
And Frank is now trailing Tony.
Yes.
Just much.
Slowly on foot. Yeah. So they all arrive at the graveyard. Tony gets to, I guess, where his grave is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He kneels down and Adam West explains that since his mission is over, he's lost his power and now is vulnerable to being killed. So he shoots Tony and it's just like, oh, okay.
I honestly thought that Tony was just going to collapse as soon as Bobby and Amy were.
Yeah.
I thought that's how it was going to work, but I guess he has a little bit of energy to get to his resting place. I don't know.
And then bullets work on him for some reason.
And then bullets work, yep. Don't even have to shoot his head.
Yeah. Then he shoots Molly, and he's about to shoot Frank, who's just like, oh my God, this is insane. But that's when Tony's dad rises from the grave to drag Adam West to hell, seemingly.
Yeah, because a big old hole opens up in the ground with red light coming from it. Did Molly use a last little bit of voodoo wishings to bring back Tony's dad?
I don't know. I don't understand. But my favorite part of this whole film, other than Tony Schlong, is as Adam West is being dragged into the grave, he's screaming at Frank to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Frank doesn't do it. Frank watches all this unfold, turns, and then walks.
Walks off into the moonlight.
Yes. The end. Holy shit.
What was that, like 20 movies out of this list where people just walk away at the end?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That has been the theme of this entire list.
I feel like the previous years we've had more or less actual endings.
Yeah.
Rather than they just walk away into the sunset. This was an exhausting hour and 24 minutes because of just how long everything is.
Yeah.
But I had so much fun with this film.
It's an incredibly fun film. So verdict, I say give it a watch with friends.
I say give it a watch, yeah, for like a party scenario something like that.
Give it the Mystery Science Theater treatment.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a lot of fun to make fun of.
Yeah, and you've got plenty of breaks to get up and get more drinks or go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm.
But have that volume up so you can hear the songs that are going on.
That's right. Yeah, it features a lot of great music.
I want the soundtrack, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if a vinyl exists anywhere for it, I want it.
I bet that Mondo, because Mondo's always doing vinyls for these kinds of movies.
Maybe. I got
to
do some research because I would love the soundtrack.
Absolutely.
For this, especially with Ace of Spades being on it.
You know, so far, the only movie that we've reviewed that we own a vinyl of the soundtrack for is Ghost House.
Yes. But that's the best horror soundtrack ever.
Yeah. This movie's available on Tubi. It floats around, and I mean, ultimately, if you want to watch it and you're not taking it very serious, then I haven't, like we said at the top of the episode, we haven't watched the Mystery Science Theater episode yet. But,
I want to.
Oh, that's probably going to be what we'll do after we're done recording this episode. Worth it. Worth the time. Mm-hmm. This is, other than our first year, this is probably the best Z movie we've watched.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first year for Z was good.
At least for the like zombie films that we've watched for this last movie.
Well, that's not fair because last year was Zombieland and that movie's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't count that because it's just a
good movie.
It's up on a pedestal. Yeah, it's part of
ignore that.
Yeah. Ignore it.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about Zombieland.
Yeah. But all the rest of the movies are crap. I always forget about the year two zombie movie where it's about the family.
Yeah.
I always forget that movie.
Yeah, from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, yeah.
That one was rough.
I can never remember what it's called.
I can't even remember and it's zombie something.
It's zombie something, but
who knows? Then, of course, I always remember Zombie Wars because that's honestly it's still one of the most awful movies, one of the most awful anthologies I've seen.
Yeah, yeah, yikes. Okay, well, we'll save all that for the Halloween Hangover, but okay, folks, that brings us to the end this episode and this year's Halloween A to Z.
Yay.
As usual, I want to say thank you for all the folks that stuck with us, especially because of the fact that this year we had a little bit of trouble with distribution. I can lift the veil a little bit as far as production goes that, yes, we were still recording into October. Yes, some of the troubles we're having with production coincided with the website problems, but but we have actually switched to a new distribution system, and so everything should run way more smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been pleased as punch with that new system that we've been utilizing. So in Halloween Hangover, maybe I'll bring up what it actually is. But but not for this, because this is just an episode for Halloween A to Z, and we should just be talking about those movies. So there you are. All right. What happens next time? Well, per tradition, next time will be our Halloween Hangover, where we talk about our top fives and bottom fives. What's going to make the cut? What do you think was your favorite ones? Please let us know. We'll look at those comments and see if that influences our opinions, or at the very least, we'll give you a mention in the episode. So that'll be cool. So let us know what you thought about all the movies this year, all 26. And always, please keep recommending. A lot of the movies on this year's list were recommended by listeners.
Yep.
So, and not all the movies, we didn't shit all over all the ones that people recommended. So please don't be afraid to recommend, because just because we don't like it, it doesn't make it invalid that you like something.
Right.
You know, the umbrella of horror is big and wide.
Remember, we like trauma films.
Yeah. We're not Siskel and Ebert over here pretending like we're anything more than a couple people that happen to watch films. You know, like, just because we don't like something doesn't mean it's crap. It just means it didn't work for us.
Right.
So tune in next time to see what made the list. Until next time, if you find yourself sitting next to somebody watching 26 sometimes great and sometimes terrible movies, just remember to have plenty of popcorn popped, plenty of beverages nearby in case you start choking on said popcorn, and most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.